Thank you, Lou. So the first thing to do this morning is to say it's good to be here. Seems a long time. I'm a bit echoey. Is that one? So I do bring you greetings. I bring you greetings from Jean, who sends her love. She's pleased I'm out and about. I've had man flu this week. Dear, oh dear. I was greatly encouraged the other night when somebody who's in the medical profession assured me it is medically proven that man flu is a fact and that we are biologically and genetically not able to cope with what you ladies can cope with. So there we go. But now Jean sends her greetings, and indeed I bring greetings from Belper Baptist Church. But things are going well, a few challenges along the way, but things are generally going well. And I was reflecting on what I said to you last time I was here. My memory is not what it was, so I was able to look it up. But I did encourage you, based on some words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, to really grasp the love that God has for each of us, to really grasp the power that he's releasing in our lives and what he can do when we open ourselves up to his leading. And I pray that you've had that experience over the last 3 months or so, that you have experienced God's love. You have experienced his power. You have experienced him changing your lives. And I pray that God is making you as individuals and as a church fruitful. I don't know whether you know what I mean by that. To be fruitful is to see ourselves as individual Christians growing in discipleship, in faith, but also to see our ministry, our witness, encouraging people from the community to at least seek God. And that's the very challenging bit, isn't it? And from what I've picked up so far in my brief visit, things are going okay? Yeah. Yeah, good, good. But are there the occasional times of testing? In each of our individual lives, let's be honest, there are times of testing. And what God spoke to me about over these last couple of weeks, particularly, and what he laid on my heart to speak to you about this morning, is a passage from the first chapter of James, which I will read to you. James chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. couple of key thoughts from that passage from James, a letter written to the early Christian church. It's generally thought that the Christians in Jerusalem came under great persecution and they scattered. They scattered all over the Gentile world. And James, the brother of Jesus, who was one of the leaders of the Jerusalem church, wrote this letter to those scattered people to encourage them because they were facing trials wherever they went. And it is a message of encouragement, but it's also a message that perhaps we don't always want to hear. Because what James writes is, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And if I asked you to put your hands up if you find trials and times of testing joyful, I suspect not many of us would willingly say, bring it on, Lord, give me more. Give me more times of testing. But the word says, find joy in those trials because you know that the testing of faith develops perseverance. I don't know whether you've watched any of the Winter Olympics, which seems to me to be man's ability to invent large numbers of ways of killing yourself. The thing I had the greatest problem with about the Winter Olympics was why the people who did curling, you know, curling, doping, how does that help? Anyway, we won't go there. But you know, these athletes who compete in the Winter Olympics or in any other Olympics, any other competition, they don't just turn up. They've got amazing skills, they've got amazing courage, lack of imagination perhaps. But they throw themselves upside down and land on their feet, mostly. They don't just turn up and do that. It takes training, it takes years of perseverance. I can well imagine my children who live in France, all of whom ski and do such thing. Thomas will be out there next week on his snowboard. I can just see him trying to replicate this half pipe thing. But praise God, he won't actually do it, but I can imagine him doing it. It takes practice, it takes perseverance. And there have been stories about people with perseverance, the ice dancer who had the very serious knee injury and who fought back to fitness. And bless her, our own Elise Christie. Bless. She continues to try. She's the world champion, but somehow at the Olympics it all goes wrong for her. But she's already saying, I'm going to do it again. Who knows? Perseverance is required. And it's not only about athletics, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, in our secular lives, in employment, whatever it is, we just need to persevere. And I'm sure there were times for each of these people, these athletes, when they were tempted to give up. It all got too hard. And I put it to you this morning, are there times in your Christian discipleship when you think, actually, this is quite hard? And life isn't going that well, and I can't see God in this, and where is that God of love and that God who promises me that he will answer all my prayers, and I pray to him and the testing goes on? Where is he in all of this? I know what I'll do, you think? I'll give up. And James says, find joy in those times because the testing of your faith brings perseverance. Some of you will know that we've got some health problems in our family. We've actually, in our church at Belper at the moment, we've got a number of people with significant health problems. And my own family, we've got cancer in the family. And as I was sharing with somebody before the service, it's like a cloud. And those of you who've been through these things, you know, it's a cloud hanging over you and it never goes away. And for me, part of that cloud effect is it reduces my ability to think straight. It reduces my energy levels. It reduces my capacity, if you like. And it's in those times we can be tempted to say, well, that's enough. I can't do any more. So Jean will say to me, are you serious? Are you really going to say no more? And I say, yeah, yeah. She says, no, you're not, she says. Persevere. Because God is in this somewhere. And James gives some really sound advice here. First of all, he says to us that we should accept that in our Christian walk with God, times of testing, trials, will come. When Paul writes to the Thessalonians in chapter 3, he refers to times of trial, times of testing, as part of their destiny. He says, you are destined to have these times of trial. And we need to grasp a truth here, that as Christians we are not automatically immune from the trials and tests that come to any human being. There are those who preach a prosperity ministry. There are those who tell you if you get yourself right with God, you'll never be ill, you'll never be poor, you'll never be hungry. Well, I'd like to meet these people when the rubbish hits them. Because it will. And God does not promise Christian people a smooth and easy passage. In fact, if you read Jesus' words and then read what happened in the Acts of the Apostles, and then read Paul's letters and Peter's letters, Christian people have a tough time. Partly because we're not immune from all the things that happen to every other person, but also on top of that, we have the potential for being persecuted for our faith. And if you don't believe that Christians are being persecuted for our faith, you want to look, take a serious look at what's going on in society at the moment. Most of the things the Bible teaches are being just completely discarded, thrown away. And society is telling us to believe different things. And there will come a time, perhaps it's already arrived for some of us, where you have to face up to that challenge. You know, there. Some of the stuff that's been in the news recently about bad things happening in charities. It shouldn't be happening, should it? And you know, people who are in the workplace face those dilemmas from time to time. Do they do the right thing or do they do what the employer demands? And it's really tough. It's persecution for our faith. And sometimes we have to make tough choices. Do we go along with the environment we're in, or do we stand up for what is right? And it can be tough. These trials will come along. But be encouraged that Jesus faced all these trials, and we are reassured in the letter to the Hebrews that Jesus is the one who can sympathize with us because he faced every trial, every temptation that we will ever face. And he, of course, emerged from these without sin. But here we are, we're in the second week of Lent. We're on our journey towards Easter. Just think of some of the things that happened to Jesus on that route to Jerusalem. He was discouraged, if you like, by the disbelief of his own disciples. Those who turned round to him, Peter who turned round to him and said, this isn't going to happen to you, Lord. You're not going to suffer and die. I won't allow it. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan, because you're not thinking in my ways, you're thinking in your own. And think of that time when they all said they wouldn't desert him. We blame Peter, don't we, for saying, I'll never desert you, Lord. But actually, what the scripture says is they all deserted him. Let's not criticize them. We would have done the same. Jesus faced that emptiness, that loneliness on the cross, where in that moment of dying, he carried the sin of the whole world. Jesus faced trials, and what he said to his disciples was, if you want to follow me, you must carry your own cross. He was telling us that as we go through our Christian life, we would face times of trial. So how do we feel when these trials come along? Not overjoyed, usually. I usually cope with big crises better than small ones. Give me a big crisis and I can be calm. Give me an irritating little one and I can be quite bolshy. I know you find that hard to believe, but there we go. And as I've already said, give me man flu. Ugh. Unlivable with. The message here is don't invite trials. Now, let's be honest, some of the things that happen to us, we self-induce. If we live a lifestyle that is unhealthy, if we get ourselves into moral situations, if we get ourselves tied up with drugs or whatever it is, we are going to bring problems on ourselves. We can avoid those as we grow in our understanding of God's word. But when they do come along, let's allow God to develop our character. Perseverance was something that the early church had to learn. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, boasts about the perseverance of them in churches. In the letter to the Revelation, the writer refers to both the church at Ephesus and Tyatira. I know your deeds, I know your love and faith, I know your perseverance. Good things to have. But you know, we need to just sort of help the Holy Spirit prepare us for trials. The Holy Spirit gives us our Christian character. Rain down on me, was it? The song. What a brilliant song. The Spirit rains down on us and transforms us and gives us Christian character. And you know the fruit of the Spirit. You know that when God transforms us, we are changed. So we need to allow His Spirit to really develop our character. And Peter, in 2 Peter 1, writes this. His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Do you believe that? That God has given you everything we need for a godly life. Everything we need. But he goes on to say, work with the Spirit, add to your faith goodness. Add to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, to mutual affection love. Build on what God is giving us. Add these things. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you will keep from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to be unproductive and ineffective. So we need to allow the Spirit to build. And that does enable us, when trials come, to pick the good bits out of them and to allow God to change us. You know the parable of the sower, where Jesus talks about seed falling on different types of soil, and it's in the good soil where the seed takes root and brings forth fruit. And most of the time we think about that parable in terms of God's word falling on different kinds of people, don't we? You know, there'll be those who hear it, totally reject it like rock. There'll be people who hear a bit of it, start to grow in it, and then the weeds come up and choke it out. And there'll be other people who will hear it, and it'll take root, and it'll flourish. Well, I just want to put another spin on that parable for you to think about. Each and every one of us are those different types of soil. There are times when God's word really speaks to us and does what his word wants to do in our lives. There are other times when we hear God's word and, quite frankly, we say, well, that's interesting, and off we go and we totally ignore it. And that time is when we're being like rock. There are other times when we say, yeah, I've heard God's word, I really must change the way I go about my life. But then life sort of overtakes it, and we go back to how we were. That's about like being the soil where the weeds grow up and kill it. God's word needs to penetrate our lives. And sometimes in times of testing, we do experience that opportunity to know God that little bit more. And James says that when we're faced with a trial, what we should do is we should ask God for wisdom. Do you ask God for wisdom when you have a difficult choice to make? You know, there's an interesting continuum of wisdom, isn't there? You see, wisdom and knowledge at one end is very human. So, you know, if you want a carpet fitted, have a word with Adam. Don't ask God about it. If the lights fuse, go and check the fuse box. Don't sit here and pray that the lights will come on. But, you know, when we're faced with difficult choices in life, pray to God that he will give us the wisdom to know the right thing to do. And what James says is, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, but ask without doubting. You know what we do, we men in particular, we sometimes ask our wives' advice, but we don't intend to take any notice of it. Ooh, that was risky, wasn't it? As if we would dare not take any notice of it. But sometimes we do, we go around, we ask people's advice on a matter, and we keep asking people until eventually we find somebody who tells us what we really want to hear. We can't be like that with God. If we ask him, be prepared to accept the answer he gives. And ask without any doubt that he will guide us. But just to finish off, really, now that you're going to go away and think of all those challenges that you face in your life and see them as a time of joy, a time of growth, a time of perseverance, James says something about temptation. And I just want to make sure you understand the difference between being tempted and being tested, because it's a very important difference. And the key point to remember is what James says here, that God does not tempt. Never, ever. God allows testing. And through testing, he wants to build us up. Tempting, which comes from the enemy, is always about dragging us down. And one of the problems with facing times of testing is that we can be tempted because our resolve can be diminished. We can be tempted to give up. We can be tempted to take the easy way out. We can be tempted to not do the right thing. When we face temptation, always believe that God will give us a way through that temptation. The Bible tells us in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we will never be tested beyond our ability to endure, and we will be given a way out. We can resist temptation. And the closer we get to God, the more we will be able to resist the temptations that come our way in life. James encourages us to find joy in times of testing. I don't want anybody here to have a time of testing tomorrow. But most of us will. And it's about the relationship we have with God that will tell how we cope with that time of testing. It'll either build us up, or it will leave us feeling a little bit fragile. And one of the joys of belonging to a Christian fellowship is that at any point in time, some people will be being tested, some people will be full of joy. Be sensitive and aware of one another's, where we are. And just love one another through it. Let's just pray together. Lord, we confess before you this morning that we don't like times of testing. We don't like those things that challenge us at the very core of our belief and faith. But we accept that those things do come and will come. And Lord, what we pray, and what we pray without doubting, is that in all situations, whether they're full of joy or whether they're challenging, whatever situation we find ourselves in, may we know your presence. May we know the power of your Spirit. May we know that you have our best interests at heart. May we know your love in a very real way. And may we develop our Christian character through these times of testing. Lord, we pray that you will protect us from any forces that seek to tempt us away from living the life you have called us to live. We pray for power to resist the enemy. And we pray that through our perseverance, through our continuing discipleship, we may be a witness to your love and to your glory, a witness that will speak to the people around us, that when people see us coping with the challenges we face, they will say, how do they do that? And we pray that they may come to understand that it's not in our strength, it's in our very weakness, it's in the power of Christ within us that we are able to cope with anything that life throws at us. So Lord, we just ask for that grace, for that love, for that endurance and perseverance that you promised to us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.